of your faithfulness that we have not been consumed. You have preserved each one of us, and you've allowed us to be alive. It is not because of our acts of righteousness, but because of your mercy and your grace. And so, Lord, we want to say thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to be alive. And now, Lord, even as we study your word together, I pray that you will speak to us. I pray, Lord, that you will come through and show us the treasures in your word. I am asking, Lord, that you'll use me as your microphone, that I'll only speak what you want to be spoken, and that you'll hide me behind the cross, that Jesus and him alone crucified will be manifested. And after everything is said and done, may the glory return to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. 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 I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And praise the Lord. It's a joy to be back to St. Andrew's Bukoto. For the month of November, I've been here. Now this is the third time. And I'm grateful to God for the opportunity that he's given me to stand before you and share. My name is Daniel Magumba. I'm a married man, and I'm a teacher by profession. I am posted by government to teach in Bombo Ame SS, and I teach mathematics and chemistry. But above all, I am born again. Amen. Amen. I'm also a student, and I was one of the people who graduated on Friday at Uganda Management Institute, and to God be all the glory. Amen. Amen. Yes, one of my mentors said that if you stop reading, you stop leading, and you start dying. And so I made it my ambition to keep studying. Well, the topic that has been given to me to address this morning is giving that pains. Giving that pains. I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word pain. And I wonder what the people who framed this topic were thinking about, asking us to think about pain. Because pain is not a thing that any human being in their right senses would even want to think about. I think throughout our lives, we do everything we do to run away from pain. I don't think there is anyone among us who would want to go through the experience that Reverend Patricia has gone through. I think throughout life, we are running away from pain. We associate pain with discomfort. We associate pain with hurt. We associate pain with inconvenience. And we do everything in life to get rid of pain. One day I was reading the book of Job, and I came across a text in the book of Job where Job said, "The thing I feared most is the thing that has happened to me." Job was literally saying, throughout my life, there is something that I have been avoiding, but the thing I've been avoiding all my life is what has happened to me. Job was talking about his experience of pain that was undesirable and that he wanted to get rid of. But my brothers and sisters, we all know that not all pain is bad. Not all pain is bad. There are pains that we go through, but at the end of that pain, there is something good that comes forth. My mother recently was narrating the story of my journey in life. And I felt flattered when she called me her baby. And then she was telling me right from the time of her pregnancy and the pain that she has gone through and the pain that she had had to endure. And looking at me now, she was grateful that she went through the pain that she went through. And God began to help me to understand that pain is not all bad. There is pain that comes your way, that the Lord allows to come your way, because there is something better that God wants to give birth through your life. And so pain, from a biblical standpoint, is what gives birth to gain. As the English say, there is no gain without pain. There is no crown without a cross. There is always a price to pay in life for anything that is of value. And so as we talk about pain and giving this morning, I am trusting that God will help us to be willing to do whatever it takes to get what he desires for us to get or to have. My brothers and sisters, I was looking through scripture and I found some accounts of people that have had to go through pain, that have had to pay a price, that have had to endure certain things, that have had to allow to be discomforted, that have allowed to be inconvenienced in order for something better to happen in their lives. And I just want to give a few examples. In Genesis chapter 12, there is a man called Abram, who later becomes Abraham. When God comes to Abram, God tells Abram to leave where he was, to leave his city, to leave his family, to leave his comfort zone, to leave everything that to him spoke about comfort, to leave that place of his comfort, to go to a place that God would show him. God does that for Abram because God wants to bless Abram. And it was upon Abram to choose whether to allow to be discomforted to get something better or just to remain in his comfort zone. And the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that Abraham obeyed. He left his comfort zone, went to a place he didn't know, and today Abraham is called the father of faith, the father of many nations. His willingness to discomfort himself gave birth to the greatness that is spoken about him even today. No gain without pain. There is another man called Moses. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to verse 26, the Bible tells us about Moses. And the Bible says, Moses was willing to give up the privileges of being a prince in the palace of a king in Egypt. He was willing to give up those privileges in order to fulfill what God wanted to do in his life. And because he was willing to go through the pain of denying himself being a prince and to go through suffering, today Moses is one of the most celebrated characters in the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 34, the last verse, it says there is no man that ever lived like Moses, whom God would speak to face, and who did great things. No gain without pain. Moses was willing to inconvenience himself for something greater that God had promised to him. I want to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 to verse 12, the Bible tells us that even though our Lord was God, the Bible says he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself of no reputation. He left the glories of heaven. He put on human flesh and he lived like a man. He denied himself the glories of heaven and he put on human flesh and he lived like a man. He suffered on the earth. The Bible says he was obedient even to the point of death on the cross. And the Bible says because he was willing to pay the price, God has given him a name. And that name is above every other name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow down. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. He was willing to deny himself, to go through the pain. And because of that pain he went through, the Bible says he gained a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee bows down. Every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. No gain without pain. Now my question to you and I is this. I wonder what pain you are willing to go through in order to gain the things God wants you to have. I have learned in my life that everything God wants to do in my life, there is something God requires me to do that is inconveniencing to me. Let me repeat that. I have learned that whatever God wants to do in my life, there are things God requires me to do which are inconveniencing to me as an individual. But that if I do them, then I will get to experience what God has promised. And so my brothers and sisters, even as we talk about the pain of giving, I am praying that God will make you and I willing to go through whatever it requires for God to do the things that he's promised. In Exodus chapter 25, I realize that there are certain things that God told the children of Israel to give to him. And when I went through the list, I realized that none of the things God told the children of Israel to give were things that they could easily obtain without paying a price. In Exodus chapter 25, God tells the children of Israel to give the following things. He tells them to give gold. He tells them to give gold. Now you and I know that you don't get gold on the streets. You don't just walk out of your house and find gold somewhere near your gate. To get gold, there is a price that you have to pay to get gold. He told them to bring silver. Equally, silver is not something that you just find there exposed. There is a price that you pay to get silver. He told them to give bronze. Bronze is also something that is not common. It is something that you have to pay a price to be able to obtain. He tells them to give garments of blue, garments of purple, garments of scarlet. He tells them to give goat's hair. Definitely, if you are going to get goat's hair, then that means you must have a goat. And to have a goat, you must probably rear the goat in order for you to get goat's hair. So all the things that God tells the children of Israel to give to him, they had to pay a price to get everything God was requiring them to give to him. So when we talk about the pain of giving, or giving that causes pain, we are simply talking about the price that God requires you and I to pay in order to give to him something that is worth his name. Praise the Lord. Giving that pains. I have realized many times, my brothers and sisters, that many times when we are giving to people anything, we normally think about things we don't need. Usually when you are thinking about giving clothes, you normally look for what? You normally look for probably what no longer fits you. That is what you give away. I don't know whether I'm speaking to somebody. You normally look for something that you think you no longer need. Usually that is what we are comfortable giving. But when you read scripture, you'll find that everything God told the children of Israel to give had to cost them something. He always told them to give their best. He told Abraham, he told Abraham to give Isaac. And all of you know that Isaac was Abraham's treasured child at that point. God never tells us to give him what is left. He tells us to give him what is right. He never tells us to give him what is left over. He tells us to give what is his best. I mean, he tells us to give what our best is. In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, from verse 6 to verse 13, the scripture talks about a certain woman who came before Jesus. And the Bible says the woman came with an alabaster box. And this alabaster box was full of perfume. And the Bible says this perfume was expensive perfume. Giving that pains is giving that is expensive. This woman brought a perfume that was expensive. The Bible says the cost of this perfume was a year's wages. Now I want you to think about a year's salary. The woman put aside her whole salary for a whole year in order to give a gift to God that moved the heart of God. The scripture says in this particular text that when the woman brought this alabaster jar of perfume and she broke it and poured the perfume on the feet of Jesus, the disciples, and I'm sure that many of us are like these disciples, the disciples spoke to one another and they said, why this waste? This money would have been preserved and the money would have been given to the welfare of the poor. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, I have realized in my walk with God that when God talks about us giving to him, he is aware the cost that is going to take us to give to him. But he's also aware that we do not survive. We do not survive because of the work that we do. We survive because he sustains us. And so this is the heart with which this woman came. She brought this alabaster jar of perfume worth a year's wages as an expression of the fact that she knew that her livelihood was not dependent on what she was earning. Her livelihood was dependent on the author of life. So she gives this alabaster jar of perfume worth a year's wages as an acknowledgement that God is her sustainer. People that give in such a way that pains them are people that know that only God can sustain their lives. Praise the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 17, from verse 7 to verse 24, there is another example of an individual who gave in a way that was painful. This is a widow. In 1 Kings chapter 17, from verse 7 to verse 24, it talks about a widow during a time of famine. And the Lord tells Elijah to go to the home of a widow during a time of famine. Now, if you are familiar with widows, you know that their breadwinners are no longer available. This widow was definitely going through a very challenging time in terms of livelihood. And this is the person God tells Elijah to go to so that Elijah can be fed. And so Elijah enters the home of this widow. And Elijah first asks for water. And you know, sometimes when God is teaching us how to give, He begins with things we are comfortable with. It's just like us who teach. When we are teaching in class, we don't begin with things that are abstract. We begin with things that are simple. And so the Lord tells Elijah to go to this lady. And when Elijah goes to this widow, he first asks for water. And the widow is very comfortable with water. She does not complain about bringing water. That giving was not painful. Let me tell you, there are certain things that you give that don't pain you at all. That is not the kind of giving that God is asking us to give. The woman brings the water willingly, and then Elijah takes her to another level. She says, "Hey, as you bring the water, also bring me a cake so I may eat. First bring me a cake so I may eat, and then you can fix a meal for yourself." And this is now when the woman now begins to give her complaint. She says, "You man, you need to know that this is the last dish I have. I am going to eat. I'm going to prepare this dish for me and for my son. And after that, we shall do what? We shall die." And then Elijah tells the woman, "Just obey the Lord. You just make me some food first. And then after I am satisfied, you can then make food for yourself. And then the Lord will sustain you." Giving that pains. Giving that pains. This woman was called to give something that inconvenienced her. Thank God she obeyed. The Bible says when the woman did what Elijah told her to do, the Bible says from that day, while other people were dying of famine, in this woman's house, there was food every day, every day, every day, because she gave what pained to her. She moved the heart of God to make sure there is food in her house every day, every day. When God tells us to give something that pains, He knows very well that even if we keep what He's telling us to give, it will not sustain us. And the Bible continues to say that one day, the son of this widow fell sick. And I'm sure she tried everything she could, and she could not bring back the child. And this was her only son. And the Bible says that the son died. And then she had to go back to Elijah. When God tells us to give something that pains us, He is not doing it to take from us, but to give us insurance for the present time and also for time to come. This widow never knew that a time would come when her son would fall sick. But one day the son falls sick, and she calls Elijah. And to cut the long story short, Elijah raises this son back to life. Praise the Lord. When God tells us to give something that pains us, the Lord knows the things that are coming ahead of you. You don't know, you have no clue what is coming ahead of you. I wonder how many of us had a clue that in 2020 there would be lockdown. I wonder how many of you had a clue that 2021 would be a continuation of 2020. And now I'm hearing that there is another variant of coronavirus. We don't know what the future holds, but we have a God who holds the future, and he tells us to give to secure where we are going. Praise the Lord. What motivates people to give in such a way that they give in a way that pains them? I want to take you to a familiar scripture to illustrate what motivates people to give extravagantly or to give something that pains them. John chapter 3 and verse 16 is a very famous portion of scripture. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." When you read that portion of scripture, you will find that the motivation that God had to give what pained him was love. What motivates us to give things that pain us is the level of love that we have inside our hearts. If you love somebody, if you truly love somebody, you will be willing to sacrifice whatever there is for you to sacrifice because you love. If we are going to give in such a way that pains us, the motivation of that kind of giving is love. And so I want to ask a question, even as I ask myself a question. How much love for God do you have? The level of love for God that you have is going to determine the level of your giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. Praise the Lord. What else motivates people to give in such a way that pains? The text of scripture that was read to us in 2 Samuel chapter 24. I just want to take you through the story, and I'll not read it again. But in 2 Samuel chapter 24, the Bible says there was a plague. Like we have COVID-19 in the world, there was a plague during the time of David. And the plague was killing people. And David was so hurt that the people were dying. And so David goes to the Lord, asking the Lord for a solution. And the Lord tells him to prepare an altar and to offer a sacrifice. And so David goes to this man called Arona the Jebusite. And Arona is willing to give to David the place to build an altar free of charge. And David says, "I will not give to God anything that costs me nothing." So David pays for the land, and when he builds the altar, the plague stops. Now David's motivation of giving to God was so that the plague may stop. David's motivation of giving to God was so that the plague, the sickness, may stop. What motivates people to give a gift that pains is because there are certain things happening in their lives that they want to stop. If there is something that is happening in your life, something that is happening in your family, something that is happening in your community that you are fed up of, that you are tired, that it is there. That will be enough motivation for you to give to God whatever God is asking for, because you want something to stop. So David gave to God because he wanted the plague to stop. I wonder whether there are issues in your life that you feel should come to an end. I wonder whether there are issues in your family that you feel they have been there long enough and they should come to an end. We learn from this text that we have read in 2 Samuel chapter 24 that for the plague to come to an end, David had to give. He was tired of seeing people die. And so his response was to give to God something that cost him. And so the motivation of giving in such a way that you feel pain is because you want certain things that are happening in your life to come to an end. Praise the Lord. And even as I come to an end, when you go back to John chapter 3 and verse 16, you will find that what motivated Jesus to give his life in a very painful way is because he was motivated by the results that would happen after his giving. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 2, that Jesus saw the joy that was set before him. He saw the joy of seeing me born again and having eternal life. He saw the joy of you having eternal life. He saw men from every tribe, from every tongue, and from every language benefiting from eternal life. And because he saw the joy of people having eternal life, the Bible says that joy motivated him to give his life. We give extravagantly because we are motivated by the results that are likely to happen as a result of our giving. I don't know what it is that motivates you to give, but I hope and pray today that you will think about the promises of God. You will think about the kind of future that God has for you, and that what lies ahead of you that God has promised in his word will be a strong enough motivator for you to give to God in such a way that will honor his name. The Bible says, even as I close, in the book of Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 7, from verse 9 to verse 10, that men from every tongue, men from every tribe, men from every nation, and men from every language are going to stand before the throne of God, all giving praise and glory and honor to God because of Jesus, because of his willingness to give to his life. Men from every tongue, every tribe, and every language are going to enjoy eternal life because someone was willing to give in a way that pained him. I wonder what it is that God is telling you to give today. Even as we celebrate harvest, I wonder what your motivation is today to give to God. But I hope and pray that we will think about the things that God is going to do in our lives, and that the things that God has promised us will motivate us to give to him, knowing that he alone can sustain us. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you now touch our hearts. Lord, that you touch our hearts to give to you, because we know that only you can sustain us. And Lord, your word says that you love a cheerful giver. And so, Lord, I pray that you will move our hearts. That, Lord, even as we give to you as an act of worship, you will be magnified and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.